The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now, so that following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you have harvested from the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for his name. You shall go to the priest who is the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it before the altar of God, you shall make the response before the Lord your God. A wandering Arman was my ancestor. He went down to Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought forth us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with terrifying display of power and signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring you the first fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, bow down before the Lord your God. Therefore, you together with the Levites and other aliens who are residing among you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God hath given you and to your house. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us sing together Psalm 91, you who dwell in the shelter of the Lord. Next page.
Thank you.
The second reading is a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. The word is near you, and your lips, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believes in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was banished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Later on this spring, my mother and her six sisters are having a family reunion, and they're going to gather in Phoenix. And I'm very happy that they're going to be so close so I can be part of that little family gathering and listen to the stories. The stories are the best part. I remember when I was a little kid that when the aunties would all get together, they would sit around the big dining room table in either my grandmother's or one of my aunt's homes, and they would work a jigsaw puzzle or play cards. Well, my cousins and I would hide underneath that dining room table. Now, you had to be really quiet, but it was worth the wait because we knew that very soon the stories would start. And they always started with the same phrase. Remember when? They were great stories. They were great stories. Those stories about the past taught us, the little girls under the table, who we were, where we came from. Those stories gave us our roots. These days, when the aunties gather around the table working their jigsaw puzzles, There aren't any little girls under the table. We're in the next room talking and telling our own stories that start out, remember when. And still one ear tuned in to our mothers in the other room, waiting for those stories that they tell, those familiar stories that they've told over and over again, the ones that make them laugh so hard that they all end up in tears. Those stories of our past are so important because they remind us of who we are. In marriage preparation class, I always spend at least one session, one meeting with the couple, getting them to talk, to tell stories about their family of origin, telling stories about how they were raised. How did your parents make decisions? What did your family do in time of crisis? Tell a story about some decision that your parents made and how they involved each other and the rest of the family. What was what those stories reveal is a lot about who we are as adults, what our personality is like, our core beliefs, how we handle decision-making and crisis. Stories are important. Our family of origin, our faith family of origin, those ancient Hebrew people were great storytellers. Moses believed that if they remembered who they were as they left Egypt and became a people of God, if they remembered how they had come into that land that God had promised them, if they could remember how God was faithful to their promise, they could remember their roots. And then they would be faithful. They would be faithful to that community, to that God who had made these promises. So when they arrived in that promised land and were offering those first fruits, Moses had told them, make this response as you offer those first fruits. Say this. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and then he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And as they told that story over and over again, it became for them like a confession of faith. This is who we are. They gained an identity as a community, as a family of faith. And that community story became the framework of their thanksgiving, and it gave them roots. It defined for them a purpose in life. That story became a creed. And Moses urged them, tell the story again and again. Keep telling that story. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, has that same kind of urging for the people of Rome to whom he's writing this letter. He says to them, tell the story. Tell the word. Speak that word over and over again. The word is near. It's in your heart. It's on your lips. Tell that story of Jesus Christ over and over again, because in that telling of the story, you will find your roots. You will find that you are rooted in Christ. And in remembering the story, that sense of community, just as the Hebrew people found their identity in that telling of the story of the people in the wilderness, and in the promised land. Without telling that story in the company of like-minded others, they could easily forget who they were and to whom they belong. They would lose their identity. If we forget our story, if we forget who we are, we lose ourselves. You can have a good image of that if you visit an Alzheimer's unit in a hospital, where people don't know their story anymore. They've lost themselves. Jesus was at risk of losing himself when he was in the desert, in that wilderness time. All the devil's questions had the same kind of challenge to him. Who are you? Who are you, really? Our passage begins, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. What happened at the Jordan? Jesus returned from the Jordan. That was where he had been baptized. That's where he had heard that voice from the heavens giving him his identity. You are the beloved, my chosen one. Right after Luke tells that story, as we're turning the pages of the Bible, Luke tells that story of Jesus being baptized at the Jordan, and then he tells the genealogy of Jesus, from Jesus to David to Jacob to Noah to Adam, all the way to Adam's creator, the one true God. Jesus knew the stories of his ancestors. He knew those great stories of faith that gave him root, that gave him that identity as the Son of God, the beloved, the baptized child of God. That was the word that was in his heart, on his lips, near to him. And that's the story that he tells the devil. Now, in the most seductive voice, the devil says, if you are the Son of God, I'm not saying you aren't, I'm just asking the question, if you are the Son of God, feast on these stones. Turn this rock into a loaf of bread. Jesus knows, though. He knows who he is and whose he is. And he claims that identity with the story, quoting the story, telling the story. The devil tries to pressure Jesus into forgetting who he really is. He tries to create an identity crisis, takes him up to the highest pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Take a dive from here, because the angels will take care of you. You won't stub a toe. This is who you are, isn't it? Who are you? The Son of God? But Jesus knows who he is. He tells the story to the devil, reminding himself of who he is and who he belongs to. He remembers the stories of his faith and claims his identity through that story. Because he knows who he is, he is able to stand his ground in the face of temptation. He knows that he is the baptized, the Son of God, the beloved. And it's in that story of who he is that the truth is revealed, the truth revealed to that tempting devil. The questions that the devil asks to tempt Jesus are answered with the truth of who Jesus really is and how he knows himself to be that truth. He is the Son of God. He is the beloved. He is the baptized child of God. In this world, you and I find many roads leading to so many contradictory truths. But we are urged in this season of Lent, we are called as Christians to take the road less traveled. The truth of the story, the truth of the gospel promised at your baptism is the road less promised, the road that leads to the cross, the road of truth. The truth of that story, of who you are, is told in word and song, is told when we gather here as Christians, as the beloved children of God. It's the truth of that story that's told at the altar. And we receive that truth of that story in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. In the telling of this story, we remember who we are and whose we are. In the telling of that story, we too can stand our ground in the face of losing ourselves in our wildernesses. I was at a conference this last week given by Eugene Peterson. He wrote the Message Bible that maybe you have seen. His current book, his newest book, the title, I haven't read it yet, the title is Eat This Book. And it's about reading the Bible. It's about how we read the Bible. And I got this image when I read the title and then the subtitle, How to Read the Bible. I thought of myself eating a nice ripe pear. And you take that, you see this beautiful thing, and when you take the first bite, you have to be kind of careful because you don't know how juicy it's going to be and you don't want it all over you. So we're kind of careful with that first bite. And then when we get that first wonderful flavor in our mouth, we just continue to eat and take it in and savor every bit. And Dr. Peterson says this is how we are to eat the Bible, to read the Bible, to hear that story, to take it in, savoring every little piece of it, letting it nourish us and fill us. Last Wednesday, we started our Lenten journey, marked with ashes, being told to remember. Remember who you are. Remember your identity. These 40 days now of remembering have begun. And during this season and beyond, we'll listen to the stories, we'll sing the songs, we'll do the things that remind us of who we really are. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. He tried to pressure Jesus into forgetting who he was. That's our temptation too, to forget who we are. In the midst of the wilderness that we find ourselves in, that wilderness within, and the wilderness that is in the world, we are so tempted to forget who we really are. We're tempted to think that we are like the others, like our culture tells us we are. You're a consumer. You are controlled by society, or your glands, or your wild imagination. We are not. Our identity is not in the world. Our identity is in the font, in the bread and the wine that we eat. It's true. You do become what you eat. We are what we eat. We are the body of Christ. And remembering that identity, we are not forced to give in. We can stand our ground in the wilderness that this world is. We know who we are. We who have been called, the beloved children of God, we who have been marked with the cross of Christ, who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we know who we are. And that identity allows us to resist the temptation in the wilderness. It can be difficult. The wilderness is very difficult. That desperation, the loss of hope that we feel in our world, we may be tempted to lose our identity. Meaningless suffering, illness, stress, depression, war, tragic events, useless killings. But we take the road less traveled, the road of truth, remembering who we are, remembering the words of promise spoken at our baptism, remembering the stories of our faith that tell us who we really are. And that word of truth, that story of our faith is near to us, in our hearts, on our lips. May that story refresh and renew you through these days of Lent, through these days of wilderness, through these troubled times in our world. And may the certainty of our identity as the precious baptized children of God strip the devil of any of his powers and give us hope and peace in remembering.